She knew perfectly well who was kidnapping who. "Do not, on any account, leave the safety of this fort," commanded Queen Sycorax. "Do not, on pain of my most severe displeasure, go over that wall." Take the usual look of disappointment on Queen Sycorax's face when she looked at her daughter, and then times that by about 10, and you'll have an idea of what Queen Sycorax looked like as she gazed up at Wish and her disreputable companions lying on their stomachs on the back of the flying door. "I'm so sorry, Mother," said Wish guiltily. "Don't worry, I'll be right back, I promise." And then the door of the punishment cupboard sailed up, up and away, over the battlements, and on towards Queen Sycorax's wall. Queen Sycorax gave a sigh of fury and resignation. Maddening though her daughter might be, she really did not want her shot down. She called up to the sentry on the Tower of Education, "Nobody shoot down the door! The princess is going over the wall!" And the astonished cry went up from sentry to sentry and tower to tower all along the fortifications and battlements of Queen Sycorax's great wall. "Orders of the Queen! Nobody shoot down the door!" The wall of Queen Sycorax was supposed to be impregnable, unclimbable, unbreachable by witches and everything magic. The arrow hands of those sentries were absolutely itching to shoot that door down as it sailed majestically and a little erratically over their heads, particularly when Tsar leaned over the side of it and gave them all a cheeky wave. But they were all far too scared to disobey orders. Queen Sycorax watched it go. She closed her eyes for a second as the door lurched wildly this way and that, went into nosedive several times before flying on, over the forest. With her clumsy little daughter in charge, it really was going to be a miracle if they made it for more than 5 minutes through that forest without crashing. But in among all the anger in Sycorax's face, there was the blink of an emotion more unusual for her. Fear. For she knew now that her daughter was in real and terrible danger. Tap, tap, tap went Queen Sycorax's furious little foot on the royal stage as the witch smeller and his magic hunters got cautiously to their feet, looking as though they felt a little at a disadvantage, for the Queen was the only one who had stayed standing throughout. Queen Sycorax's warriors remained where they were, curled up like hedgehogs, their arms over their heads, for they knew that their queen was about to speak her mind, and it was better to lie low until she had. Queen Sycorax narrowed her eyes, and then she struck, every single word a snake bite, dripping with poisonous sarcasm and contempt. "I hold you entirely responsible for this mess, you miserable little pest controller," flashed Queen Sycorax. "Thanks to your pathetic inability to follow orders and do your job, my daughter has left the protection of my castle and has been carried off into terrible danger. Because out there, beyond my wall, are real live witches. Not that you would know one if it bit you on the nose, and those real live witches are going to be chasing my daughter and trying to kill her. And this is all your fault." The witch smeller's mouth opened and shut. And then he drew himself up and put his finger in the air for full scariness. He trembled with indignation. He had never met a woman so dreadful in all of his life. "None of this is my fault. It is you who is in big trouble, Queen Sycorax. You tried to cover up the fact that your daughter is an extremely dangerous fuel and is fraternizing with evil magic elements." "She was kidnapped," said Queen Sycorax, "and there's no such thing as a fuel, you unbalanced ignoramus." Shaking with fury, the witch smeller whirled round to face his magic hunters in a swoop of cloak, the sprite heads round his neck rattling against the giant's toenails.
"After them!" yelled the witch smeller. "Magic hunters, onto your horses! Fairy catchers, have your nets ready! Giant killers, sharpen your axes! We will hunt them down!"
The witch smeller vaulted onto the back of his horse, and with terrible cries the hunt poured out of the castle gates. The enchanted door was so small in the distance now that it was beginning to disappear into that great dark greenness. After it raced the magic hunt, the raving dog wolves barking as mad and out of control as if they'd seen a fox, the insane scream of the witch smeller at the front, his cloak flying behind him as they charged after the door and into the forest. I don't know if you have ever seen a hunt in full cry, but it is a truly terrifying sight.
That hunt is going to tear Wish to pieces when it catches up with her, said Drama, with satisfaction.
It most certainly will not, said Queen Sycorax grimly, for I will reach the witch-smeller first. Warriors, she stamped on the royal stage once, twice, up and on your feet, saddle up my hunting horse. There's no time to lose. We have a princess to catch.
7. On the other side of the wall. As they approached Queen Sycorax's unbreachable, impregnable, invincible wall, Tsar let out a long crow of triumph.
I did it! Cried Tsar, punching the air.
You mean we did it? Wish corrected him.
Which way now?
Asked the enchanted key, chattily.
I've never seen an enchanted object that talked before, said Tsar.
I don't know what I'm doing, replied Wish, slightly hysterically. I don't mean to bring things to life at all. Wish was struggling to keep control of the flying door. It had looked so easy when Tsar did it 6 months ago, but somehow the door, when she was enchanting it, seemed to be going way too fast and zigzagging out of control all over the place. A bit like Wish's emotions. Wish knew she should be feeling horrified and anxious. She knew that warrior princesses really oughtn't to fly on the back of doors in the company of wizards. She had tried so hard to be a warrior princess, to concentrate on all the maths work and the sword work and the letter work. But the truth was, in her heart of hearts, she was absolutely fed up to the back teeth with trying to work out whether I went before E, or what happened when you took X from Y, and whether she should be getting Madame Dreadlock's homework to the schoolroom or the stables because it was every second Thursday. Of course she was scared and sad that her mother was going to be so disappointed and so angry. But part of her was just absolutely thrilled to be back in the adventure of it, soaring high, high over the battlements, high, higher still to get over Queen Sycorax's wall, the wind blowing her hair back. Oh my goodness, they were really going to get over it. Peering over the edge of the door, she could see the little figures of the warrior sentries shouting but not shooting up at them, way, way down below. Her heart beat fast. They were over the wall. The great forest stretched out for miles and miles like an enormous green carpet in every direction, full of excitement and possibilities of danger. The peril was instant, for the out-of-control door was sinking fast, and Bodkin pointed to the tiny distant figures of the magic hunters pouring out of the gates of the fort. They had to get as far away as possible if they were not going to be caught very quickly. Bodkin, ordered Wish, take off your armour, it's weighing us down. And as Bodkin threw away breastplate after breastplate, spears, swords, leg protectors, arm protectors, and they fell down into the forest below, the nose of the door lifted. And though it became no slower, in fact it even speeded up, it became easier to control. Wish's heart lifted too. The enchanted door shot over the forest canopy as fast as a speeding arrow, and Wish thought joyfully, they'll never catch us now, or not tonight at least. They zoomed over the ragged river, and on, beyond, out of Queen Sycorax's territory, out of the boringness of real life and punishment cupboards and horrible stepsisters, and into the drama and excitement of the wizard wildwoods. However, once they were away from Queen Sycorax's territory and flying above the forest, Wish's elation died, for there was something odd about the land she was looking down on, something different from the last time she had flown over it. Normally, there was the friendly smoke of wandering giants moving slowly across the countryside, or the bonfires from the wizard camps, or great swarms of chattering sprites migrating south or north, depending on the season. Now, there was not a breath of smoke, not a sound. The forest was weirdly quiet, and worst of all were the sinister blackened circles cut into the woods, like a child had torn into them with a wicked pair of scissors. Oh my goodness, whispered Wish. This has all been done by
witches, said Tsar, grimly finishing the sentence for her.
I had no idea all this was going on, said Wish.
It was a horrid thought,
that while life was going on just exactly as normal in the warrior territories, and they'd been doing their training and their maths work just like they always did, terrible battles had been carried out on this side of the wall.
Yes, well, that's your mother all over, said Tsar. As long as you're safe, she doesn't care about us. She's left us to be exterminated.
That's not entirely true, said Wish. She hired the witch smeller and his magic hunters, didn't she?
If the witch smeller is that guy with the sniffing nose and the weird pointing finger, do you really think he's going to improve the situation? Said Tsar.
Wish had to agree. The witch smeller's arrival in the Wildwoods could not be described as an improvement.
No, it's all down to me, said Tsar moodily. I am the boy of destiny, after all.
Bodkin had shut his eyes at the word witches. Witches were all he needed to make him feel thoroughly sick, particularly because he'd now got rid of most of his armour. He was a reluctant flyer at the best of times, but as a first-time pilot, Wish was sending the door swooping up and down and swaying side to side in such a wild and uncontrolled manner that his stomach seemed to have been left behind somewhere back in the castle.
"Which way should I take it?" said Wish.
Tsar pointed down to the right.
"The Snowcats and Crusher are waiting for us somewhere over in that direction," he said.
It was a bit of a bumpy landing. When they got below the tree canopy, Wish had quite a lot of difficulty getting the door to slow down, and because she always got a tad confused between left and right, the door slalomed rather manically through the tree trunks until eventually she found a small clearing, and they slammed down into the ground with such energy that all three of them were catapulted off the door.
"Whoa!" said Tsar,
with reluctant respect, picking himself up and brushing himself off.
"You are one crazy door driver, Wish!"
And then he punched the air and shouted,
"I did it! Quest accomplished! Look at me, O gods of the trees and water, and bow down in respect!"
"Oh, yes! Well done, Tsar! Well done!"
squealed Squeezejuice excitedly.
"You're brilliant, you really are!"
"I most certainly am," said Tsar with a grin. "One 13-year-old boy, flying very low, has achieved the impossible double, breaking out of Gormenkrag prison and getting over Queen Sycorax's supposedly unbreachable wall. Not once, but twice, I am the boy of destiny. Feel my power!"
And then he threw back his head and howled,
"Arr, arr, arr! Arr, arr, arr!"
Wish and Bodkin, picking themselves up and realising the enormity of what had just happened, looked at the so-called boy of destiny very, very balefully indeed.
"Aren't you going to thank me for saving you?" said Tsar, just to add insult to injury. "Or don't warriors do thank yous?"
The cheek of it.
"Ha ha! You saved us!" exclaimed Wish in outrage, her hands on her hips. "We saved you! If I hadn't enchanted that door, those magic hunters would have killed you. And now Bodkin and I are in big, big trouble."
"Helping me out of there was the least you could do when all your relatives were attacking me," said Tsar. "You warriors are not very friendly to your guests."
"Guests? Guests are invited. Guests are polite. Guests don't sneak in invisibly and try to steal things off you," said Wish. "I think the word you may be looking for is burglar, not guest."
"That spelling book is mine," howled Tsar. "I need it for a very important quest. And talking of burglary, you warriors know all about that, don't you? Because you're the biggest burglars in the world, and you've been stealing this forest off us for as long as anyone can remember."
"You can't steal a forest," yelled Wish. "The forest belongs to everyone."
"Try telling your mother that," Tsar glowered.
"Your father is just as bad as my mother. I've seen him," said Wish.
Wizard and warrior stood nose to nose in the forest, bellowing insults and curses at each other, as their ancestors had done throughout history, ever since warriors first invaded from across the seas and the two sets of humans met in battle in the Wildwoods centuries before. Caliburn sighed. However many lifetimes he lived, these humans never seemed to change. He'd hoped for better from these two, but maybe they were going to be just like the others. But Tsar wasn't feeling too pleased with his father, so he had to agree with Wish's last remark, and Wish was feeling rather the same about her mother. They both paused.
"We shouldn't be fighting, Tsar," said Wish at last,
sticking out her hand for him to shake.
"I've been really worried about what happened to you, and I'm so glad you're safe. I thought we were friends."
Tsar didn't have all that many friends at the moment, what with one thing and another, and he rather liked Wish. even if she was an enemy. He was even rather fond of the odd bodyguard who kept falling asleep. So after a while he said, "Thank you for helping me out by enchanting that door." Zar shook her hand and grinned back.
"And I like your style of door driving."
Maybe there was hope for the humans after all.
"And it was really funny, wasn't it?"
hissed Tiffinstorm, blinking into life beside them.
"The witch smeller screeching like a screech owl. This spoon is alive! This spoon is alive!"
Now the danger was over, it really was quite funny. Wish and Zar, the sprites and even Bodkin were laughing at the memory of the witch smeller. The spoon did a brilliant impression of bonking him on the nose. Even Caliburn's shoulders were shaking before he remembered himself and gave a little cough.
"I'd just like to gently remind you that you're supposed to be meeting everyone else here, Zar."
Zar stopped laughing.
"Oh yes, you're right, Caliburn."
He whistled a couple of times.
"Now, where are those snow cats? And Crusher, I told them not to wander off."
"Oh, there you are,"
exclaimed Zar, as out of the gloom of the forest there burst three stunningly beautiful lynxes, who padded over to Zar and greeted him as enthusiastically as if they'd been three little kittens, knocking him over onto his back and slathering his face with licks.
"Nighteye, King Cat, Forest Heart, Crusher," sang Wish delightedly,
as with great crashing noises the giant lumbered into the clearing, pushing the trees aside, his head on a level with the topmost branches. She hugged the snow cats, burying her face into the deep softness of their fur, and then ran to embrace the giant around the ankle.
"Oh, I've missed you all!"
"And we just missed you,"
trilled Squeeze Juice, happily flying into her hair and making a joyful little nest in it.
"Redunculous, humungular being!"
"Some of us have,"
said Hinky Punk, and just to show that not all sprites were as soppy as Squeeze Juice, he blew a little sprite breath, which froze Wish's fringe and stuck it to her forehead.
"Not me, though. I hate warriors."
"And this is the one sprite," said Zar, pointing to the little sprite sitting on the back of a peregrine falcon that had landed on his shoulder.
"He's a new member of my sprite team. Your wicked mother took his magic away, but he's learning to live life without it, aren't you, one sprite? His wings don't work anymore, but he's learnt to fly on the back of this peregrine falcon."
The one sprite was sprite-sized and sprite-shaped, but no bright light shone from his chest. His colour had faded till you could hardly tell what it might have been once. His wings had withered on his shoulders, and the sharp little points of his ears had turned and drooped.
"It's very nice to meet you," said Wish, giving the one sprite a shy wave.
The one sprite did not look as if he had forgiven Wish for her mother's actions. He stared stiffly into the distance, as though Wish were not there. But Wish was too happy in that moment to mind. The truth is, if you spend most of your life with your only real friends being an assistant bodyguard and a spoon, it's very nice to meet up with some other people who are on the same wavelength, even if some of them are a little annoying sometimes, and supposed to be your deadly enemies. All of a sudden, Bodkin drew his sword and screamed,
"Werewolf! Get behind me, Wish! There's a werewolf!"
As he saw Lonesome for the first time, prowling in the shadows behind the other wolves, his tail swaying ominously from side to side.
"Oh no, that's fine, he's a friend," explained Zar with a careless wave of his hand. "I met him in Gormancrag."
"A friend? You're friends with a werewolf?" said Bodkin.
This really was too much, even for Zar.
"But werewolves used to be known as companions for witches. And what were you doing in Gormancrag? Isn't that some kind of prison?"
"Lonesome was innocent. He should never have been in prison in the first place," said Zar. "And for a lone raving fangmouth werewolf, he's really quite friendly. He just needs a bit of help with his manners."
"Doesn't everyone in prison say they're innocent?" said Bodkin,
looking very dubiously indeed at the werewolf, who was pawing at the ground in a manic sort of way, as if he was barely repressing the urge to rip them all to pieces. The werewolf bared its teeth menacingly at Bodkin.
"Oh, Bodkin, don't be so prejudiced," scolded Wish. "This werewolf may be a very nice werewolf for all we know."
The werewolf paused for a moment, stiffening a little in surprise. He had never met warriors before, having spent his whole life locked up in Gormancrag, and this was the first time that anyone had ever described him as very nice. Mostly people just ran away screaming.
"Why were you in prison, Zar?" asked Wish. "And why do you want the spelling book? I'd have just given it back to you. You didn't have to sneak in and steal it."
"Caliburn didn't want me to get you involved," said Zar. and I need a spelling book so I can make my father's staff work properly. I'm going to need all the magic I can get in the quest I'm going on. A quest to get rid of... this.
Zar took off his glove. Wish and Bodkin let out horrified gasps.
I wish you'd stop doing that, moaned Caliburn, putting one wing over his eyes as the sprites burned with green fire, hissing and cursing in alarm, and the snowcats and the wolves crouched down, growling. A trembling squeeze juice flew into Wish's hair and made a little nest there.
Oh, my goodness, whispered Wish in horror. What happened to your hand? It's the witch stain, isn't it? But I thought the stone that takes away magic had taken the witch stain away. We all saw it happen in my mother's dungeon.
Yes, well, it didn't take all of it, said Zar. The great thing about it is that I can do magic now, and that was wonderful at first. But the bad thing about it is
it's bad magic, finished Caliburn. Very, very bad magic, and as you can see, it's getting worse.
Bodkin and Wish shivered as they looked at Zar's hand.
It looks so awful. You don't think... you're not worried that... it might turn you to the bad, Zar,
suggested Wish, tentatively. She laid a gentle hand on Zar's arm. She could feel a slight coldness as she touched him, like ghost breath on the back of the neck. Zar wasn't looking well. His hair was damp, as if he had a temperature. The green of the witch stain had crept all the way beyond his wrist. There was a feverish look in his eye, and he shivered now and then, as if he was about to catch a nasty bout of the flu. Sometimes his hand stiffened, and his fingers curled and turned into claws. And even Zar found that a little scary.
The Druids found out about the witch stain and shut me up in Gormancrag. They said they were trying to find a cure, but they were lying, and my father believed them, said Zar moodily. They all just want me to stay in Gormancrag forever. My father doesn't care. Well, I'll show them.
But what are you going to do, Zar? Said Bodkin. The stone that takes away magic is broken. You can't use that anymore.
The only way to get rid of a witch stain is to get rid of the witches themselves, said Zar. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out there and destroy them.
Bodkin looked at him with an open mouth. He had met witches before, and he knew exactly how scary they were.
You're going to go out there and face a whole horde of acid-blooded nightmares all on your own, on purpose. But you're just one small boy.
Caliburn coughed.
And it's all very well saying you're going to destroy them, Zar, but how exactly? That's been my point all along.
Well, that's why I need my spelling book, said Zar. I'm sure there will be something in there that can help me.
This is the most extraordinary coincidence, cried Wish excitedly.
What coincidence, moaned Caliburn, feeling the beginnings of a serious worry coming on.
I hate coincidences. I've just today found a spell in the spelling book to get rid of witches, said Wish triumphantly. In fact, that's exactly why I broke out of the punishment cupboard. I wanted to get the spell to you and your father. Bodkin, show Zar.
As soon as she said these words, the spelling book flew out of Bodkin's pocket and up into the air and into Wish's hands, growing larger as it flew. Wish tapped the letters on the contents page to take them to the right part of the book.
It was quite strange, really. I didn't find it so much as write it, admitted Wish. I was using the feather that Caliburn gave me to write with, and it was almost as if Caliburn's feather was writing on its own.
They all crowded around the spelling book to see the page.
Look, it's a recipe. Maybe the spelling book wants us to eat the witches, said Squeeze Juice excitedly, for Squeeze Juice was always hungry.
That's not a recipe, said Zar. Oh my goodness, you're right. It's a spell to get rid of witches. I knew it!
They all gazed hopefully at the spell.
You wrote this with my feather, did you, Wish? Said Caliburn,
so worried now that the feathers were dropping from his back like leaves in autumn.
Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Sometimes I forget what happened in my former lives, but the memory lives on in my feathers.
You've lost me there, Caliburn, said Bodkin, shaking his head. I have no idea what you're talking about. Former lives?
Yes, I have lived many lives as a human, but this is the first time I have been reincarnated as a bird, explained Caliburn, as if this was the most normal thing in the world. So perhaps the feather is writing a message to me, from me, in one of my former lives.
Bodkin's head was going round and round. These wizards and magical things were so complicated. Having just the one life as a warrior assistant bodyguard was so much simpler than all this reincarnating, turning into birds business.
But I've never heard of a spell so strong that it could actually get rid of witches entirely, said Caliburn. Did I really know that in a former life? What does this mean?
It means, said Czar, animatedly, that we're going spell raiding, guys! Oh, this is so exciting!
Spell raiding was a rather disreputable part of the magic world. Spells needed ingredients, and some of those ingredients were hard to get hold of. So wild, wingless young sprites called spell raiders specialised in collecting and stealing spell ingredients. They flew at night on the back of specially trained peregrine falcons in order to make a quick getaway. The one sprite cheered up no end. He had been drooping sadly on the back of the peregrine falcon, but now he sat up so excited that he might have an important role to play in the world once more, that he accidentally fell off his bird, scrambled up on its back again, and saluted Czar, saying,
I won't let you down, Czar. Yous can rely on me.
Me too, me too, squeaked Squeeze Juice. I want to be a spell raider too.
Yous, too young to be a spell raider, said the one sprite. It's very dangerous. You can guard some of the collecting bottles that we're going to put the ingredients in.
The one sprite rustled in his spell bags and gave a few collecting bottles to Squeeze Juice, who said,
I shall guard them with my life.
All right, let's see. What's the first ingredient? Said Czar excitedly. The giant's last breath from Castle Death.
The werewolf started to growl and gesticulate urgently. What he said was,
Rear, grunt, growl, grunt, wear,
and then a loud spitting noise and a stamp of the hairy foot, followed by,
Creargle, erg.
Look, Lonesome is agreeing with us. He's saying we have to go immediately to Castle Death, said Czar.
You speak werewolf? Asked Wish, deeply impressed.
Oh, yes, fluently, said Czar, carelessly.
Would you say fluently? Said Caliburn to no one in particular.
Fluently, repeated Czar, firmly. We wizards all get lessons in werewolf language.
Czar's brilliant, isn't he?
Said Squeeze Juice, proudly.
Speaks werewolf like he's a werewolf himself.
Your lesson sounds so much more interesting than our lessons, said Wish longingly. What's he saying now?
Grunt, wear, spit, stamp,
repeated the werewolf rather more urgently.
Don't worry, Lonesome. I understand, said Czar. We need to go to Castle Death. Immediately.
Unfortunately, that wasn't what the werewolf was saying. Czar really should have concentrated harder in the werewolf language classes. Creargle Erg does indeed mean Castle Death, so Czar had got that bit right. But go-to in werewolf language is grunt weero, whereas grunt we are means stay away from.